As I was prepping for today's sermon and reviewing my notes, I was praying and the Holy Spirit gave me about a page. And the word that I had that came upon me was complacency. I could feel it even creeping in my own life. When that trumpet sounds, I want to be in Him, and I want to be found in Him. And as we were singing that song, Simplicity, so I was sitting there, and I was hearing Brother Ed talk about communion. I thought about the Church of Ephesus. In chapter 2 of Revelation, this is Jesus talking to the Church of Ephesus. He said, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." He says, I know your works and your labor and your patience and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them to be liars. And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of this place. Except that thou repent. And when I was praying yesterday, this is what happened. And I wrote it down as quickly as I could. Today is the day. The day of the Lord is upon you. It's time to stop playing church. I need your focus, my child. Put aside childish things. I am starting to gather my church. You will soon see the separation, for as it says in the Scriptures, I will separate the wheat from the chaff. Return to your first love. Have no fear in what man will say or do to you. Be strong and of good courage, thy faithful servant. I am the Lord thy God. Nothing goes before me. I am the beginning and the end, and you will see my glory if you faint not. Be strong and of good courage, for I gave the world my best. My son, for you, yet you hold back. Why? I am coming soon. Get ready. This has nothing to do with the sermon today. And now I know why. I didn't even know the songs we were singing today. I just knew to be obedient to write that down. You could take what you want from it. To me, that was a warning. It was a warning. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Father, have your will and your way today. Use me to accomplish your purpose. Open the hearts to receive, for today is the day. Your will, your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm good, Brian. Thank you. It's pretty awesome when the Spirit of the Lord moves. Some of you don't understand that yet completely. And that's okay. If you ask the Lord for revelation, He will give you revelation. If you ask for the Holy Spirit, He will give you the Holy Spirit overflowing. Then, He will be able to accomplish His purpose and His will in you. Not by your own might, but by the Holy Spirit. I think today we'll be finishing up on be of good courage and be of good strength in the Lord. Be courageous and strong in the Lord. Our opening scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Be on guard, child of God. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous and be strong. And we went through that whole example, and I won't regurgitate everything, but We saw the example of Israel getting led out of Egypt and having fear in place in their camp. And therefore, God said, you will not see the promised land, those of you who are over 20. You'll die in the wilderness, except for Joshua and Caleb. And then they crossed over the Jordan. Yes, the Jordan did stop. He did stop the Jordan. They crossed over. They saw mighty works of God accomplished. They saw the walls of Jericho fall. And then where we were at last week, Joshua gave the warning. He gave the warning at his old age, which he was warned early by God, that Israel would rebel. They would turn and serve other gods. But Joshua made a decree. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's where I said, you have to make that choice for you individually and for your household as for who you will serve. And so we had this example of Joshua, of strength and courage, as he set the example for the nation of Israel. And my question is, where do you get your strength from? In Psalms chapter 121, it says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. That is where you should be drawing strength from. Not man. You have faith in man, you have faith in yourself. I promise you, if you have faith in yourself and man, you will let yourself down and man will let yourself down. But God says, I will preserve you, going out and coming in for now and forevermore. That's my source of strength. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10, Paul said this, for this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, this is Jesus saying, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Wow, that's a dilemma, isn't it? For my strength, God's strength, is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, here's Paul saying, I will rather glory in my infirmities, in my weakness. I will glory in my weakness that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Yes. The power of Christ, what he did at the cross, did it forevermore. He paid that price that we may boldly access the throne room of God. And that's not for you to get wealth and luxury. It is for you to be strong and courageous to accomplish His will and His purpose in your life. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in weakness, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions. Those will come. In distresses for Christ's sake. For His sake, not for my sake, for Christ's sake, for what He did, I take and I glory in that, is what He's saying. And this is the key to it. For when I am weak, then am I strong. See, when we sang that song, Lay Me Down, Surrender. And that's the point. When I am weak, when I am broken, then the Lord can use me. Then His strength comes through. As long as I am the strong one, as long as I have control over things, God cannot accomplish what He wants. Because it'll just be me. I will boast in anything that I accomplish. My successes are nothing compared to what He can do through me. Our strength is nothing. When we are surrendered, then His might, then His strength kicks in. But you must be surrendered to Him. Or again, when you are weak, then he is strong. Even at your age, Tony, even at your age, for when you are weak, he is strong. Joshua was old and stricken in age, and he still was strong. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And this is where we're going. We are at war. Right now, we are at war with principalities and darkness of this world. We must be strong in him. He who overcame everything, we remain in him. Oh, may I then in him be. Remember the example of the cornerstone. Jesus is the cornerstone. Remember the example in Matthew, the kingdom. The Sermon on the Mount. He gives the example, I think it's chapter 7, maybe 6, where he gives the example of the house. The man who built it on faulty ground. That man that built it on the sand, and when the storms came in, it just swept away the house. Because his strength wasn't in the Lord. But Jesus said, the one who built his house on the rock, when the storms came, it stood. That's where your strength is found, in the cornerstone, in the rock. That's Jesus Christ. Take this off here. I'm getting warm here. God approves of good courage for his will to be accomplished. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, this is going back with Joshua, but in Deuteronomy 31, 6 through 8, it says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of him, for the Lord thy God, he is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." So Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always until the end of the earth." And so in verse 7 of 31, it says, "And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage." How many times have I said that? Be strong and of good courage. It pops up so many times in this series of scriptures here between Deuteronomy and Joshua as well. He must be trying to get a message across to you. "For thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with you. He will not fail you, nor forsake you. Fear not, do not be dismayed." And so he gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge and said again, "Be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swore unto them, and I will be with thee." That's a promise. And that promise is still good today. I will be with you, lo, unto the ends of the earth. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20, it pops up again. "And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." Until thou hast finished all the work. We talked about being steadfast till the end, right? So that means you have to be of strong and of good courage till the end, because the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Okay? That doesn't mean like you've made your way and you have success of life and then all of a sudden you're done. Remember what happened to Job. Okay? Job went through trials. He was righteous. He was holy, and yet the devil had his way with him, took everything from him. Yet Job praised the Lord regardless, because he had strength, an inner strength. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the comforter, and it's an inner strength that's inside you. That's what happens when you receive Christ as your Savior. He sends the Holy Spirit to you, the comforter. King Jehoshaphat, you heard that name. In 2 Chronicles 19:11, And the point I'm trying to get across here is strength and courage. Behold, Amariah, the chief priest, is over you in all matters of the Lord, and Zebadiah, the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah, for all the king's matters. Also the Levites shall be officers before you. Deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with the good. Deal courageously. There's times when we as Christians muzzle our mouth and we don't muster the courage to say the things that are right. Part of that is to be obedient when the Holy Spirit tells you to say something. To say something. Normally that's a word of knowledge. The things I said that I wrote down yesterday, that was the Holy Spirit through me. That wasn't me writing that stuff down. And that was, it was for this, either this whole church, it was for individuals, I'm not sure. But I said it and I was obedient. And it takes courage to say certain things that don't please the crowd. Jesus wasn't here to please the crowd. He came to bring a sword, is what it said. So he told Jehoshaphat to be courageous, deal courageously. And God uses believers to instill courage, to encourage one another. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 38, it says, "But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it." Inherit what? The promised land. See, Moses was told by God to encourage Joshua. Even though Moses was not going to see the promised land, see, how many times does God tell us to encourage someone or to be courageous? And should we do it? And we do it with no expectation, but only to obey God. So encouraging. In Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 28, "But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before his people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see." See, I always thought of Joshua being this strong character in the Bible, which he is. He totally was. But even the strongest need encouragement. Even the strongest need prayer to be strengthened. We all grow weary. Think around you. Think of those whom you just think, hey, they got everything under control. That person needs prayer. They need to be strengthened. They grow weary. When things are on the mountaintop, for an individual, they are prone to be attacked. It just is. It just happens that way. Encourage. Strengthen. Turn over to Acts chapter 28. I love this. One of the most boldest men in the Bible. You guys there? You got a page number? No page number. All right. Chapter 28, in verse 15, we're going to pick it up. And he says, "And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Apolloforum. And the three taverns, whom then, when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage." He took courage with him. Why did he take courage with him? So he arrives at Rome, and he says, "And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and they were come together. He said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. Who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I ought to excuse my nation of." So he's preaching the gospel, and then the Jews don't like that. "For this cause thereof have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain." I think you're starting to see why he took courage with him. "And they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spoke any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him in his lodging, to whom he expounded. And he did what? What does he do? He testifies the kingdom of God. So he's thrown in jail for preaching the gospel, and he takes courage with him. And while he's in jail, what does he do? He expounds and he testifies the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening, all day. We're here an hour and a half. And here's the key. Verse 24, and some believe the things which are spoken, and some believe not. Some believe, and some don't, guys. It just happens. Some of you believe, some of you don't. Your loved ones, some believe and some don't. It takes faith. You are to be steadfast regardless. You are to be an encouragement. You are to share the gospel. It's one of the great commissions to the four corners of this world. You preach the gospel. You share it. You be instant in season, out of season. You share it with them. There's no guarantee that they're going to accept it, but you lay it out for them. That's the key. So some believe and some don't. And when they agreed not amongst themselves, they departed after had Paul spoken one word. Well spoke the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet of our fathers, saying, go unto this people, and saying, hear ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall and not perceive. See, when you share the gospel, as it says here, it says, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. So you hear with your ears and you don't understand. And seeing you shall see and not perceive. And why is that? Why don't you perceive it? Why don't you understand it? Why is the gospel a mystery to those? We've been talking about it. We sang that song, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Because he says right here in the next, he says, for the heart of this people is waxed gross. So their heart became hardened. So then the gospel couldn't penetrate, not to receive. Their logic became too much. And their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes have they closed. They've just shut it down, right? You see someone that does that, they close their eyes, they put things on their ears. You know, I think my mother-in-law puts in earplugs, you know, closes the eyes, you know, shuts it down, right? So it's an example of someone here shutting it down. They're shutting down the gospel. They don't want to receive it. Lest they should see with their ears and hear with their, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their mind? Their hearts, exactly. It's a heart thing. Yes. We talked about, do you remember the sermon I preached? Heart transplant. Mm-hmm. You need a heart transplant. And should be converted. Then what happens? It says, I should heal them. What are you healed from? Your sin. Your sin. We are all sinners. None of us are righteous before Him. He paid the price. He became the substitute that if we may accept Him, we may have eternal life. That's the story of the cross, folks. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. So they all started sharing amongst themselves. Maybe some of them reasoned to the truth. Who knows? We'll find out someday. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came into unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding. He was able to do that for 2 whole years, preaching morning till evening is what it said, because he took courage with him. Courage. Not his own courage. Courage from the Lord. Do you understand the importance of this now? How awesome. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. It doesn't have a lot to do with the encouragement, but it does have to do with the old life and the new, because I just talked about salvation. And I want you to hear these scriptures. It's for you, some of you individually. It's also for your friends and family who don't know the Lord. And he says, I therefore, this is Paul again. Paul who was Saul. Saul who persecuted the church, who killed numerous Christians. He was there at the stoning of Stephen. Was changed. Became Paul. He had a revelation of Jesus Christ. It got a hold of him. It rooted him. That became his foundation. And he describes himself here. He says, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. He now looks at himself as shackled to the Lord. There's no separation there. Nothing can get in between them. I therefore am a prisoner of the Lord, that I walk worthy of the vocation wherewith I have been called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Lowliness and meekness, that almost is an example of weak, isn't it? When you think of that, those words. But what did we just learn? For when I am weak, then he is strong. Forbearing one another in what? In love. Love. Love is so important. Endeavoring to keep the unity of spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One Lord. There's only one way to get to heaven. That is Jesus Christ, him crucified. He says, I will not confess you to my Father if you not confess me before your men. One faith. Not many roads. It's not narrow is the way to destruction. It is wide is the gate to destruction. Narrow is the way to the Lord's house. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. You've heard me say this before, it's a gift. God's grace is a gift and it is sufficient. It's a gift. Salvation is a gift. It's a gift. You cannot earn it. You cannot earn salvation. You can't do anything. None of your works, nothing you do. You could say you're a good person until you're blue in the face. What measure is that? There's no measurement there. The only thing that you need is you need to accept God and that grace. And grace is God's empowering presence for us to do and be what we cannot do and be on our own. What can we not do and be on our own? Sinless. We are all born with original sin. We all are sinners. We all lie. We cheat. Many of us have stolen things. We committed lust in our hearts. That's what Jesus said. You look upon a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. So God's grace enables us to be perfect before him. We're covered in the blood of the Lamb. That's what that means. And everyone has that opportunity. It says, unto everyone is given grace. But you have to accept that gift in order for that to happen. Wherefore he saith, he ascended up on high. He led captivity. He's talking about Jesus. He ascended up on high. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. So he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why did he do this? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Amen. That's what we're called to do. Amen. We're to edify the body of Christ. That's what I'm doing right now. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Who's the Son of God? Jesus. Unto a perfect man. He was perfect. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. There's a lot of deception out there right now telling you how you can have salvation and just live in the world. You're called to be holy. And you're talking about this in this whole passage is talking about taking on a new life. When you see, that's the significance of baptism, and we have to get this baptism tub going here, because some of you have to be baptized. That's the significance. You are being buried. Your old man is being buried, and you're rising up a new creation in Christ. You are baptized. You're baptized. We'll spend some time on that with Romans 6, 7, and 8 sometime. We henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. Tossed to and fro. It's like that wheat from the chaff, right? That example. Carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie wait to deceive. That's the goal. They try to deceive you. But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. The cornerstone again. The head. Christ. Christ is the head of the church. From whom the whole body fits jointly together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I remember I was reading last night, I was scrolling through notes that my wife wrote down after my dad did his sermonette in the hospital room. And just the importance of love, that we cannot do anything. If we do it all and we don't do it in love, we've missed the mark. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. There it is again, the heart. God is trying to deal with your heart. The Holy Spirit tugs and knocks at your heart. He's trying to get you to understand. He wants you to be changed, to let him in. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will let me in, I will come into him and I will sup with him, and he with me." Don't be blind. Who being past feeling, having given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not learned this in Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, and the truth is in Jesus. That you put off, this is the example, right? The old life and the new life. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We are called to be righteous and holy unto him. That does not mean you're not perfect when you accept Christ. It's a constant process to be sanctified, and you will not be perfect until he returns or you breathe your last breath. Then you will receive a glorified body, and then you will be perfect. As he is. Thank you, brother. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be you angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. It's so important. My wife and I get in arguments occasionally, and we have made that a goal with our marriage, that we do not go to bed angry. And it's tough. There are times when, you know, we're both stubborn and we both don't want to give in. But it's a constant work. And that takes surrender. I have to surrender my pride oftentimes. I say, "Hey, honey, I'm sorry. I love you. I missed the mark on this one." And she does the same. But But pride, if I don't surrender, that pride just overtakes me. And it clearly, this is a instruction for me. It says, be not angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. It's telling you how to live. This is an example. This is what the Bible does. It tells you how to live. How to live a life that's righteous and holy. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, and that he may have to give him that needs. So you work to labor, and then you are able to help others that need. There's a need. There's a lost and dying world there. There's a need for the gospel. There's people that are hungry. They're starving. There's people that need encouragement. There's people in this church right now that need encouragement. Things are going on in their life. We're one body, unified. Remember when we stood up here, locked arms? We're one body. When one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. It means speak, right? That's what the encouragement is, speaking grace. God's grace is the best encouragement you could have. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Hallelujah. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever may believe in him shall have eternal life. Because what Christ did allows you to be forgiven of your sins, your trespasses against a holy and just God. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Make sense?
Yes.
I'm talking to you on this level right now, because some of you, we talked about last week about using your testimony to share the gospel with others. It's that easy. Just read this. If you read this chapter over and over again, it's pretty basic. The gospel is laid out in this chapter. The gospel is laid out throughout pretty much the whole Bible, old and new. But there's so many examples of it. But it's just awesome. You can actually see the change of a man in this chapter. What was old and what is new. How cool is that? And that's what we are. Old, we rise up new. In him. In him. Not in us. And I know that wasn't totally on strength and courage, but it's important. You guys have to understand it. Don't let your heart be waxed gross, is what the scripture says. Today is the day of salvation. And the result in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, let us hold fast the profession of our faith, without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We're assembling together right now, as the manner of some is, but we exhort one another, and so much the more, as you see that day approaching. The day of the Lord is approaching, I promise you that. And when that trumpet sounds, oh, may I then in him be found. We need to be courageous. We need to encourage one another. We battle in the world, and we come together to edify one another, to edify Christ. We build each other up in the Lord. And to close out, God strengthens the heart of the believers, and he is with them till the end, who show good courage. And I have four small scriptures here for you, which is Psalms 27:14. It says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Brian, could you come up, please? Psalms 31:24. You ever read the book of Psalms? There is a ton of wisdom in there. A lot of instruction on how to live your life. Psalms 31, verse 24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Again, your heart. All you that hope in the Lord. I shared this scripture with you already. Matthew 28, verse 20. Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. This world will be devoured in fire. It was once devoured in water. It will be consumed with fire. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6 is our final scripture. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. How awesome is that? Man has nothing on you when you are in him. You could breathe your last breath. If you are in him, you are in glory forevermore. There's people being executed in third world countries for his name's sake. And they bent their knee that when they breathe that last breath, they stand before him. And he says, well done, thy true and faithful servant. For those who don't accept him, I'm sorry. They will try to justify themselves before him. And he will say, depart from me. I never knew you. See, you have to be in a relationship with somebody to know somebody. What is a marriage? It's an example of what God wants for us. Jesus is coming to return again. He's looking for a holy bride. That's who we are. Bow your heads. I can feel there's some warring going on right now on the inside. Today is the day of salvation. If you've never committed your life to the Lord, today is your day. He says, if you do not confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father. If that's you, raise your hand. If you want to know him, if you want that relationship today, today is the day. He knocks at the door. For those of you who have been complacent, maybe lost your way, rededicate your life today. Get right in him, that you may be found in him. He loves you. He wants all of you. Surrender yourself to him. He will strengthen you. He will give you courage to be steadfast to the end, till you stand before him and you gaze transfixed upon his holy face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.